Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
My mind was changed, my soul was changed, and my heart was changed. I have not always been affirming of people who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersex, asexual, and plus. That's LGBTQIA. But now I am fully supportive, open, and affirming of people who identify as LGBTQIA. And as I just mentioned, I didn't always believe this, and now I do. And I have to tell you that there's a story behind the way that this all happened that I want to share with you, because I believe it's important for you to know what I believe and why I believe it. Now, as I begin to tell you this story, I need to also add that if you are connected to Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, if you're a member or a part of the community, you don't have to share in the same beliefs that I do about this or many things. We can be a part of the same church and agree or disagree on a lot of things. But I think it's important for me to share with you about what I believe and how this impacts the kind of person that I am and the kind of pastor that I am. And that does impact the kind of church that we are. Now, it was late February, maybe early March of 2013, when our son Will was born. He came to us on February 25th, 2013, and a lot of things can change everything for you, but for me, one of the things that did change everything was when I became a parent for the first time. When my wife and I had this child, we went from being just a married couple to having our first kid. And in those very first few days, and in the first week or two maybe, I was looking at Will when he was in his crib, and he was very tiny, and this thought or question came to mind. What if you're gay? Now, I don't know if this question was given to me by God, or if it was my conscience speaking, or what it was, but I was looking at him when he was very tiny, swaddled in cloths and lying in a manger. Oh, wait, sorry. That's a story about another baby. But really, he was lying in his crib, swaddled up, looking like a little burrito, and very tiny, and this question came to me, what if you're gay? Now, why this mattered at the time was because I was not as open and affirming towards people who are LGBTQ as I am. And what I realized was that I had beliefs, that I had views, that if I didn't examine them, there was an opportunity in the future where my son could come home and not feel welcomed. That I could have a moment where he would wonder if he was welcome in my church. That he would wonder if God loved him. And I knew in that moment that I needed to reconcile some of my other beliefs and understandings and really move to the place where my son would never wonder if he was welcomed in my home. Have my beliefs aligned so that he would always know that he is loved by God and welcomed in whatever church I was serving. And it was in that moment that I knew that I needed to shift my views so that they were completely consistent and that I would be supportive and open and affirming for the people who identify as LGBTQIA. And I went on a journey from then on to finding my way forward to where I am today. Now, finding my way forward means that I had some things to look back at to understand where I was coming from. And to understand that, I just need to say that I was raised to understand that marriage was supposed to be between just one man and one woman. Well, then you could get divorced and that whole thing. But anyways, one man and one woman. And I was raised to believe and to read the scriptures, Old Testament and New, that homosexuality was a sin. Well, as I grew in my understanding of humanity and the complexities of sexuality and how gender and sex are two different things and that there's a spectrum of all these understandings, I began to realize that this couldn't be true. I began to also understand better that the scriptures could be read in a better way and see that it was affirming of all people. As much as there are scripture texts that speak to some of these things, there are far more, many, that speak to the importance of welcoming and knowing that people are loved by God. And when I took all of this into consideration, an understanding of what it meant for people to be who they are, that our sexuality, our gender orientation is not something that we decide on, but it's just part of what it means to be an individual, I began to see that it was beliefs about being open and affirming that what mattered and would help my son and my daughter in the future understand that they were welcome in my home no matter what, that they were loved by God no matter who they are and because of who they are, and that they are loved and welcomed in the church. And being able to tell you this is important. Being able to share all this with you is important because what it shows is that I changed my mind. And the people can change their minds about what they believe about the most important things in life, or the things that matter deeply to them or to somebody else. And this matters because I want to make sure that my kids and all people know that no matter who they are or where they come from or where they're going, they are welcome in my home. They're welcomed in our church, and that they are loved by God, and that people can change and people can grow and get to a place where this is true for them. Now, this isn't just a matter that is an issue at hand for us now, that people can change their minds and grow and mature and have a sense that God is changing their understandings of people and theology and the world. But it also is something that has been true for a very long time, that God changes hearts and minds so that they can go from a place where they understand the world and people in one way to the world and people in another way. And in particular, that's what God did with a guy named Peter. A guy named Peter went from seeing the world as one way, people as one way, to seeing the world in the way God wanted Peter to see it, to see people in the way Peter needed to see them as God wanted to be seeing them. And this particular Peter is a guy that we know as Simon Peter as well. You might remember him as the guy who denied knowing Jesus 3 times on the night which Jesus was betrayed and about to be crucified. But also, this is the same Peter who years later was known as the rock, which is what Peter means, that Jesus would build his church upon. And he's the Peter who would lead the early church in those days where everything was changing. Now, this Peter grew up as a Jew, and he was a fisherman, which means that he was not destined for leadership in an early age. But Jesus changed everything about that, too. But what Peter would have grown up thinking and believing is that God only loved Jews, that God only loved the people of Israel. God maybe liked a few other people that like were their close cousins, but that was about it. And if you wanted God to love you, then you had to become a Jew. You had to do all the things that make you into a Jewish person. And that included some things for the men that they needed to change, no matter how old they were. And if you get that, you know what I'm meaning. But if you don't, we'll come back to that when you're a little older. The fact of the matter is, Peter believed that you had to become Jewish to become part of the people of Israel in order to be loved by God. And that's that. But, there was something happening that Peter could not deny, which was at those early days, those first few weeks and months and years of the early church, people who weren't Jewish were coming to faith. People who weren't part of God's holy people were coming to believe that God loved them and that Jesus was their Messiah, that Jesus was their Lord. This is what Peter believed too, that Jesus was the Messiah and Jesus was his Lord, but he thought it was just for the Jews. But more and more people of different kinds were coming to faith, and Peter wasn't sure what to do with this. And in particular, there was one group of people that Peter would never have believed that God could love, and that was the Romans. Don't we all have one group of people that we just can't believe God could love? For Peter, that was them. Now, in particular, around where Peter lived, there was a particular Roman who was of interest because he was the military leader at the time in that area, and his name was Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a very special person because he was known for being a very devout man, actually someone who believed in God, the God, our God, and was known for giving money to people who were poor and praying consistently. But Cornelius also knew, or believed, that God only loved the Jews. And so he wasn't sure if God loved him. And what he wanted to do was figure out if God could love him. Now he then was given a vision by God that he was supposed to meet Peter, and that Peter would help him understand what this was all about. And so Cornelius sent some of his men, because he was a military leader, he could do this, he sent some men to bring an invitation to Peter to come and join him so that they could talk and get to know more about what was going on here. Now, at the same time, Peter, who was one of the early church leaders at this time, had a vision sent to him by God that changed a lot of what Peter understood about the world. Peter then had this vision where the metaphor is that a sheet came from heaven down that he could see, and on this sheet were four-legged creatures and birds and reptiles of certain kind. And then in the vision, Peter hears God speak to him and says, "Peter, kill and eat." Now, Peter, being the good Jew that he was, could instantly know that these were not the kind of animals that he should get up and kill and eat, because these were the unclean kind of animals. These were the animals that the Jews knew they weren't supposed to be eating according to the Torah, the law. Or, maybe more specifically, according to the interpretation of the law that they were following at that time. And he says to God, "I can't eat these. These are unclean. These are the profane. These aren't the sacred animals that you said are good for us to eat." And so God says to Peter, "Well, Peter, nothing that I have made is unclean. Everything I've made is sacred, and you can eat it." Now, Peter is a little slow, and so God sent this vision to him not just once, not just twice, but three times. And then he finally wakes up from the vision. I really think he might have been taking like a power nap that God was then using as a prayer mode, but that's how this all goes. Now then, after he awakes from his vision, he then finds out that these men from Cornelius had arrived and were inviting Peter to go with him. And Peter knew that God was up to something, and Peter then accepted the invitation from these men, and he went to then spend time with Cornelius. Well, he arrives with the house that Cornelius is at, and Cornelius had been expecting Peter to come, and he found out that he was coming, and so Cornelius then invited a bunch of friends and family to come with him to meet this religious man. This was a very important moment in Cornelius' life as well. And he arrives, and Peter then gets off on a really awkward foot, and he says to them, "You know that it's not okay for me as a Jew to associate with you, right, according to the law?" But Peter then goes on and he says, "But I've learned that God shows no partiality. I've learned that God does not play favorites and that God has made all things sacred. And so I am here to spend time with you." And this was earth-shattering to Cornelius. It was an invitation for them to hear more about what was going on. And Cornelius then invites Peter to continue teaching them more about what he's been learning and what God has been up to. And Peter goes on to tell them something so important. He tells them that God loves them. He tells them that God has loved them and God will always love them. He teaches them about what it means that God's love has been there for all people and how Peter now understands that God's love is there for all people. And Peter begins to tell them that the forgiveness that God offers, the inclusion in God's family, is there for them and for all people. And there's nothing that's going to hold this back from being true for them or anybody else. And then something miraculous happens, at least from Peter's eyes. The Spirit then comes on these people, Cornelius and everybody who's there, and they believe all this to be true about them. Peter senses that the Spirit has come upon them, and then they do the ultimate act to show them that they belong in the family of God. They're baptized, a sign that God loves them and a sign that they've been welcomed into people so that they can know what was already true, that God loves them. And it's a beautiful moment that happens for Peter and for Cornelius and all who are there. And from that moment on, it's become so clear that God's love is for everyone, that God's love is for all people. It's also become very clear that if God does not play favorites, that we should not play favorites, that if God is not partial, then we should not be partial towards any group of people. And that is something that we can hear and we can know. Now imagine being Cornelius in this moment. Imagine having a reputation as being one who believes in God, one who gives money to the poor, and one who is known for praying constantly, but yet you still wondered if God loves you, that Cornelius wondered if God still loved him. That is so hard to believe that that could be the case. But that's what was happening to Cornelius. And in that moment, a beautiful thing happened. Cornelius then knew, without a shadow of a doubt, that God loved him, that God was with him, and that God wanted Cornelius to be a part of his family. What a gift for Cornelius to have. What a gift that then was given to all those people, all his friends and all his family. And what a gift for all of us to know that we are loved by God. To know without a shadow of a doubt that we are all loved by God is a beautiful thing. Now, for some people, hearing that they're loved by God is old news, and that is something to celebrate. If you know that you are loved by God, and you need to be reminded of it, because we all need to be reminded that we're loved by God, but you don't doubt that, you don't question that. You might wonder sometimes, like, what does God see in me? But you know that God loves you. That is beautiful. But let's remember, there are plenty of people who do not believe that God loves them. There are plenty of people that don't believe that they're worthy of God's love. There's plenty of people who are told, in fact, that God hates them because of who they are. But what does God say about them? No, I love you. God says to people that don't know they're loved by God, I love you. God says to people who are told that God hates them, I don't hate you, I love you. And that's a message that we need to have now and always. That God loves everyone. That God loves all people. But the fact of the matter is, there is a particular group of people who have been told time and time again that they cannot be loved by God because something's wrong with them. That they can't love God because they love the wrong kind of person. That God hates them because of who they are, and they need to change that if God is going to love them. And that's people who identify as LGBTQIA+. They've been told time and time again that God cannot love them because they are LGBTQIA identifying. But that's not true. Because what do we know? God plays no favorites. God is not partial to any one group. God's love is not contained to just the Jews or to just one group of people, but God's love is there for everyone. And we need to celebrate that, and we need to remember that's true, so that every kid, every person, every grandchild, every person who ever could hear this message will know that they are welcomed at home, that they know that they are welcome at church, that they could know that they are loved by God, so that my kids can know that who, no matter who they are and how they are loved by God. And that my kids can know that without a shadow of a doubt, that they are welcome in my house no matter what, no matter who they are or how they love. And that they're welcomed in my church, welcomed in the church, because of who they are and how they love. This is a message that we have to have for all people, but especially anybody who might doubt whether they're loved by God. And this is especially true for people who identify as LGBTQIA. Now, this matters on the surface because we need to have this message, but this matters on this as well for particular reasons at this time. Now, this message matters because I need you to know that this is how I believe and how I see God's love, that God's love is there for all people, and that I want to be an open and affirming pastor. It's also important for me to know that for you to know that I haven't always believed this way, because it helps you know that I can change and I can grow, and I want people to know that God changes hearts and minds, including mine. And as we share this time and as we share these thoughts, I want everyone to know, my kids and everyone, that this is true about God's love. Maybe this also matters for you because you simply have had a change of view of this matter around LGBTQ inclusion or some other matter. And I bet there might be someone who is needing to hear that God changes hearts and minds because you're realizing you've changed your heart and mind. And maybe there's someone in your life, a relationship that you have, that could benefit from simply by you telling them you've had a change of view. You've had a change of beliefs. You've had a change of understanding of something. And that relationship could be mended or healed if you simply tell them. Or that relationship could be bettered if you tell them that you've had a change of heart over whatever it is. Because when we can tell people that God changes hearts and minds, we help people know that God is still changing the world. Or maybe you yourself, this matters because you are someone who identifies as LGBTQIA+. Or maybe you know somebody who identifies as LGBTQIA+. And you need to hear that God loves you, that God does not hate you. Maybe you need to hear this message so you can tell someone that God loves them and God does not hate them. Because there is no more important message that we can offer to someone that God loves them and God wants them to be a part of God's family. So if you identify as LGBTQIA or you know somebody who does, the message is clear. God loves you and God wants you to be a part of the church. God wants you to be a part of the family of God. There are a lot of churches out there that seek to be this way, and we are one of those churches. We want to be a people, we want to be a family, where everyone knows they are loved by God and welcomed into the community. All of this matters deeply for many reasons, but especially right now, we need all people to know they are loved by God, no questions asked. It matters because God does not play favorites, but rather God gives love to all people. And if God loves all people, then we're called to love all people too. So let's love all people.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.